Okay, testing.
Now you are recording.
I am recording. Where's my line? I don't see my line. It is?
Oh,
it's really slow?
Because I rolled it back.
Because I'm talking really slow.
Everything's going to be dry.
What'd you do? Did you compress it all? You did. You compressed it. All right. Okay,
and are the
cool.
levels good over here? They're not too low?
Your
if
levels?
I'm just talking like this?
Just might want to crank it a little. So that we don't have...
How about now?
Tim talking like...
Yeah, because I'm kind of...
Okay. Yeah, no, those are pretty even. Go ahead, say
my
something.
Voice. Hello.
All right.
Everything
okay.
good? Okay.
And we got the intro and everything, so I don't need all that, right? Yeah.
You don't need all that.
Okay. All right, let's see how to start this thing.
Okay.
Hi there.
You're really good at this
I'm really... Okay. Well, welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring, and I'm here with CeCe Cole. And we are sitting in a cafe somewhere in Richmond. Some of you probably know where that cafe is, and some of you don't. But I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to find it. And as you know from listening to the intro and to the shows that we've played in the past, we come to you live on Monday, the first Monday and the third Monday of... No laughing in the audience, please. The third Monday of each month at 12:30 on WRR. IR Radio 97.3. Today, as in the past, we're going to be talking to an artist of significance in Richmond. No laughing around the significance piece there, CeCe. CeCe actually is a young artist of significance, unlike the decrepit folks I've had on the show in the past, and is full of promise and ideas and energy, and I think you will enjoy listening to her. It's a shame you can't see this show because she's 6'4 and has long blonde hair. And before I get into trouble, actually, none of that's true. And let's get into this thing before I waste too much more time. CeCe, thank you for joining us, and welcome to Richmond.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay. Hi. Well, that's the end of that show. Do me a favor. Tell me, because I don't like just sort of reading off, CeCe Cole, CeCe went to college. Mm-hmm. Just tell us a little bit about your background, you know, about university studies, since you are a young artist, and how you ended up here in Richmond, because you've only been here now for 2 months, is that right?
Like, I've been here since the summer, 4 months or 5 months.
4 months,
like
okay.
That.
Well, it was close. Two months, 4 months, you know.
No, I've been here for much longer.
Time flies
months.
When you're making art. Okay, but just tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I came from born and raised in Louisiana. I lived there and graduated from, went to a few, couple of different colleges before I stayed at the University of Louisiana and graduated there with my BFA in fine arts, and I did intermediate kind of things, worked with video and animation, but real raw constructed installations there. But then took some time off of school and ended up in Iowa City, Iowa, where I went to, I joined the MFA program in painting, of all things, and then started right. to do installation in the painting program and graduated from there in May this year. And
so doing installation in a painting program is kind of like flying airplanes in the Army, or maybe the Army flies
yeah.
there, something like
it's
that.
A little,
submarines in the Army. You were in the Army Submarine Corps.
It made perfect sense to me, but
right.
and I learned quickly how to defend what I was doing in that right. within that program, because it was, you know, people were
they
not
say,
upset, but it was a different mentality a little bit. But to me, it all seems the same. We're all doing the same thing. So anyway, I felt like I fit into that program more so than intermediate or sculpture. There's a real...
Well, if I'm listening to this show, which hopefully I am
yes.
listening to you, if I'm listening to this show and you're talking about being in a painting program and doing installation...
Yes.
I'm wondering what it is you're talking about. So let's just sort of pause and talk about that for a second.
Okay.
It sounds kind of... it's either completely bizarre and you're off your medication, or it's going to be really interesting. So,
well, it's really pretty simple, but I just started in the painting program. I was making paintings. I got in with a series of paintings that I made for a show, and actually prior to getting into the graduate program, I did my own events and art shows in my studio and invited other artists to attend, and I started showing my own paintings in that situation, but then they quickly evolved into these more elaborate they were still wall pieces, but just a bunch of things
piled.
They were coming off the wall. They just could never really stay inside the square or on the frame or whatever.
Okay.
So then when I got into the painting program, I started making paintings because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And it was, and I'm glad I did it. But they were never enough for me just as far as the – I always wanted to get off of the rectangular or the square or the two-dimensional – just a little bit, just to kind of throw it off or
how
whatever.
Come?
So
I mean,
I'm not
why?
Sure. It was just an impulse. It was
really?
More of an intuitive thing. I just never felt satisfied with just a drawing. I guess because it's such a coveted and precious object at that
like
point.
So you were like sort of a latent sculptor?
Something like that,
right.
I guess.
Okay.
But I do think that I fit in. I mean, the painting group was where I felt like I belonged because mm-hmm. it seemed there was a kinship for sure with what I was doing and how people edited themselves and added and subtracted making a painting, so I felt like it made sense.
Right.
And then I started making really crappy paintings because I would never worry about stretching the canvas and everything was just sort of taped together and flung together. And I soon and quickly realized that it was just part of my aesthetic and it came from someplace. And when I started to identify that more...
See, that's an interesting, I think, from an artist standpoint, I mean, that's an interesting concept. I mean, I'm assuming there are a lot of people out there who've tuned in by accident, and they're kind of going, what is this? And what is she talking about? But it's interesting when somebody says, I started making a lot of crappy things. Because in our culture, you're not allowed to make crappy things.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's not a
well,
thing.
Well, I exercised the freedom there.
The freedom.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit, because I think that's an interesting kind of idea that runs counter to... You know, I go to work and I screw things up and it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that it was part of that. I guess I have tended to think now, too, growing up in Louisiana and kind of hanging out on the swamps and all the shanty,
right.
You know, everything is just kind of flung together but perfectly functional and beautiful in its own way. And so I think that once I realized that that was what I kept doing and I wasn't... It's not that I don't care about craft. I really do, and I love looking at well-crafted paintings and artwork
right.
and sculpture, and I'm always amazed by it. And I think I just am... I like the sort of vulnerability of things that are just hanging on by a thread
right.
but still working just fine for me or whoever.
So it really, what you're talking about is it depends on what you're... And tell me if I'm dead wrong here, but it depends on what your focus is.
Sure.
What are you looking at? What are you thinking about? And if you say that, you know, you were just sort of throwing things together that were coming apart, you're really more talking about chaos and an appreciation of it and the chaos that we all live in, even though we try to deny it all the
right.
time, and the order that we all desperately try to make when we
right.
go to work, and the fact that we tell everybody we're fine and everything's good and life is good, and you're saying, now, you know, there's another layer here, gang.
Exactly.
Is that what you're...
Exactly.
Right.
And I guess the things I look at in the art world and in just the culture at large are things that are just, they kind of have this pretend surfacey, you know, polish that...
I mean, sort of slick.
Yeah, so I guess in the end, the things that I like to draw attention to or focus on are kind of the infrastructure, like one of the shows...
Are you deconstructing at all? I mean,
not
I think
really.
That's a dangerous word, but,
I think
you know.
It's more of an additive process. It's like I go do a lot of secondhand store shopping, so I'm kind of gathering all these materials that have a sort of a history, and then I'll sort of recontextualize them.
Right.
I'm not interested in telling a story about anyone or based on their belongings there is something about, I'm interested in the fact that I'm selecting these things for some reason and I find a purpose for them beyond, you know, their original purpose possibly or
so now you're talking about another reason that you
well
that, I mean,
yeah but I
sense?
Think it somehow it's in I think it fits into that same larger purpose that you were kind of mm-hmm. bringing up because it's just another it's a subtext. It's just a layer. It's just another,
is it as simple as recycling? I mean, is it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
I mean, because if it's not, I'm not trying to elevate the importance of any one object. It just becomes something different where I think just in the context that I'm putting them in, like in this show that's
so
in
you're
the
looking
solvent
at common
space,
objects and you're looking at them, or you're not looking at, you're not impressing on them the meaning. You're not crafting the meaning from the object. You're allowing the object, in a sense, to reveal itself or to have the viewer reveal the object. Is it?
I guess in a way. I mean, it's hard to talk about because everything, I pile tons and tons of materials together. Mm-hmm. So it's not just one object. And the things that I'm thinking about are environmental and cultural, but they're not, it's not political mm-hmm. necessarily. It's right. more about the vulnerable side of that or the clumsiness or...
Well, give me an example of how that might work in your work.
Well, let's see.
I mean,
speaking of this installation,
right? You have a show here,
right?
And what is that show called?
It's called Lure of the Lore.
Lure of the Lore,
and that title is drawn from. I look at a lot of books about natural wonders and architectural wonders, and then I look at just architecture books a lot, garden books. You know, that whole idea of how you can reconstruct this landscape within a landscape that's. That's somehow utopian or something.
Right.
And
so architect is a big part of what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in construction right. and, again, that whole idea of it being really kind of shoddy even, but that it's still standing right. or it defies gravity somehow or defies logic in a way.
What do they call it? Shabby chic? No, I'm just kidding.
Something like that. I'll take that.
Really?
And so, for instance, in this show, and I think what's been a current theme in my work is I'm working on building these sort of ecosystems, and they're sort of they're closed systems in a way that alight everything on its own. There are a lot of fountains and references to geological wonders or just simple things. And I guess I also. I'm interested in the whole simulated world thing, you know, where I can recreate these ideas or these places based very loosely on things I've been looking at or reading about that are just my interpretation of them. Like, I've been looking at a lot at the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, you know, the legend, not, I mean,
so
you can't really look at it.
So is fantasy involved in what you're doing, or?
Maybe very... vaguely. I mean, I'm not into fantasy, but it's kind of, they end up being kind of magical in a way because they're lit, low lit, small, tiny lights. There are lots
what
of little
tiny... What kind of materials
tiny,
do you use? What, I mean, try and help draw a picture since this is radio.
I use things like dollhouse lights and any kind of just hanging bulbs with, you know, nothing fancy, clamp lights or whatever for my own lighting. So that I don't have to rely on the gallery track lighting. I use found objects, which range
from... So you don't rely on the gallery
because
of the limitations
I'm interested,
of that?
Well, in a way, I think I just like the idea of this thing coming in there and taking on a life of its own and being self-sufficient in a weird way, even though it's really not. I mean, this show that's up in the solvent space is... There's a lot of tending to it that I have to do. So it ends up being a little bit like a garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, when I go...
So you didn't just install this and walk away?
No. I visit it and retape things or fix problems that weren't... And not just problems, but it's just how it... In a way, how it evolves, you know, where things... Slight changes or whatever. I just roll with those things. And when we had the opening party, for instance, people were just kind of... immediately saw that it was okay to put their beer bottles down on the table that I had been working on and had it kind of sectioned off as if it were some landmass thing. And it's fine. It's sort of a collaboration. I like the idea of inhabiting the space. And so that's what I like about having to actually tend to it in a way. So I leave things...
fluid. I mean,
it's kind of fluid.
So it starts out as an installation, but it can, in some ways, grow, change.
Yeah.
Are the people visiting, are they allowed to make changes, or are they
not
encouraged?
Not really. You know what? I mean, there are some things that happened at the opening that I let be, and there are just a few things, though, that are in place, and... Little remnants or little evidence of people who visited. I like that. I mean, I don't necessarily want to, hand the reins over to someone to start rummaging through. And the, I guess kind of getting back to the earlier question about what the materials are
right.
and sort of the idea, too, of this being an evolving thing, I'm interested in leaving things stored there. So my whole studio is pretty much packed into the solvent space right now and all these objects that I still pull from. So there's storage rivers, which consist of all these pieces of wood and dowels and light bulbs and cord, you know, extension cords.
When you say
cords,
your whole studio, what do you mean? Like, I mean, is your studio sort of like a...
A storage
sort
area.
Sort of like a junkyard, I mean.
Kind of. I've spent, since I've been here in the last 4 months, I think I've accumulated an entire truckload of things. And
right.
This show we built, Jamie Bowling helped me build on that tower outside of the solvent space.
Yeah, and for those of you who aren't familiar with Plant Zero, which is on Hull Street, which is where the show is, Hull and Forth.
Yeah.
And the Solvent Center is a center that Plant Zero and VCU utilize together, and VCU brings in artists, and they have shows in there. And, you know, if you'd like to stop by, again, it's Hull Street and East 4th. So that's where the show is. It is an industrial area, and there's a metal tower outside of solvent
right.
space. And you've built a structure from that metal tower using 2x4s
mm-hmm.
and plastic. And
that was because I also live out here in the apartment, the VCU
right.
residency program, which is why I'm here for the year. The apartment that we live in is right across the street from the solvent space
right.
and the gravel pit. So the more I looked out there, I did think a lot about green space and the lack thereof, and then these kind of mm-hmm. architectural elements that exist, and how I just like to work off of what's there. So
right.
Tom Papa's trailer was right there, his Airstream.
There's an all, yeah,
that's
an
all
antique,
connected.
Oh, so okay, so the antique Airstream,
right.
which is
just,
part of the installation.
It is. It's connected by this.
So we've got a huge gravel area,
mm-hmm.
And then the tower that's made out of metal is sort of the tower to nowhere. I don't know what that was used for. And then there's the solvent space, which is just sort of an industrial small warehouse kind of thing. And all of those elements you've put together for this installation.
Well, this was a great shift for me because I'm not used to working on this scale. And so I'm usually compiling all of these smaller scale, you know, things I can fit in a shoebox.
Right.
And just they accumulate. And then I arrange them in such a way that it references this theme I have in mind. So they... And then in that, I'll incorporate drawings and possibly painting or, I mean, there. It's a
does
little bit of everything.
Does this feel overwhelming to you? I mean, does
some
it feel
days
like,
it does, but
yeah,
other
like
days it seems so perfectly
or?
Natural to
really?
Me. I'm in there, and it just, I think it gives me an excuse to work out my, you know, whatever obsession or compulsion that I've got going on. I can
uh-huh.
just, because it doesn't have to ever end, really. There's not, it's not...
I mean, let me ask you, what are you doing? I mean, you know, one of the things that fascinates me is the difference between the way most people spend their lives at work in that fairly structured, fairly highly defined environment usually, as opposed to what an artist does. And I think a lot of people look at artists and they go, what the hell are they doing?
How are they doing it?
I mean, you know. I mean,
that's what I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, why this as opposed to... being a veterinarian or a...
Just wasn't an option for me, I guess. I mean, I just always...
You applied to vet school and,
yeah, and
they
I was,
didn't
I was
like
rejected.
The paintings and that was the end of that, right?
But no, I think that I was always interested in art, but I wasn't one of those prodigy... I mean, I think I knew I could draw.
I mean, what do you get out of
and
it? What do you get? What?
I think it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I like the
right.
lifestyle. For one thing, I like the challenge. I have to constantly... I'm constantly reinventing things and reinterpreting, and I think by that nature, just
what?
Reinterpreting my experiences or the things that I absorb culturally or, you know.
Okay, so you're reading, you're watching, you're thinking,
looking, yeah,
and
just
you're translating that into some visual format?
Somehow, and maybe saying it all again in just a different way or maybe
uh-huh.
trying to, I mean, I guess I'm still trying to identify what my allegiances with making it's not political, it's not necessarily so social or cultural, but the references, they're all there, and I want that doesn't bother me. I guess that's just it's not didactic work, it's very
mm-hmm.
ephemeral, and it's more, I like for people to just come there and have an experience and not be
How do they
force
do that?
Fit.
I mean, let's say someone walks in who doesn't, you know, I mean, part of the show really is to try and bridge that gap between artists in the art world and the sort of the casual or the regular viewer. I mean, you know, well, do you think we can do that? I mean, maybe art's just not for everybody. You know?
I agree. And yeah. After having been through three grueling years of graduate school in Iowa, it was a three-year program, and many a crit, which is a great opportunity just to push yourself harder in the
right.
work and maybe try...
A crit meaning people coming in and talking
right,
about your work.
Right, the critique and the workshops that we mm-hmm. had together that... You know, they weren't easy always. You have to deal with the you know, negative parts of the things that you think you're putting everything into and other people just don't seem to get.
Don't get
but
it.
Then once you push that and just challenge yourself, it's really rewarding. I think it's been... That helped me get to a place where I was able to just... I don't care what other people think, you know?
Well, I was going to say, is it important?
I want
is it
people
important?
To enjoy yeah. it, and but I know that not everyone's going to, and mm-hmm. I know not everyone's going to understand it. And
what
that's
would you say to someone who walked in who was interested but didn't get it?
I'd say that's
movie?
Your problem. No, I would just... I wouldn't even feel a need to have to explain myself. I would just... Let them mm-hmm. go away confused, you know? I mean, and to me, that's okay, too.
Right.
I mean, if you walk away and you're thinking, is this art, then at least you're thinking about art at all, you know? I mean, it doesn't...
Why should somebody bother to think about art?
Because I think...
I mean, our culture says, you know, art's not important. Making money is important.
I don't think our culture does say that altogether, but...
Right.
And I think that I go through that.
Why do you think it's important to think about art?
Well, I used to... I waver on that a little bit because it's such a struggle to be in that thinking that you're saying something that people are going to care about
right.
paying attention to. But I do think it's important just so it's... In a way, it is political because you're saying something to people that maybe, even if it is just about beauty or just about simplicity or vulnerability, it's something else besides, you know,
everyday life.
Yeah, it's more emotive, I guess, or it can be. And even if it's not, it conjures emotions, possibly.
So it's almost what's the word I want to use? A dimension of life that the vast majority of people, I think, because of the harried, crazy world we live in now, and I think always before, too, just mm-hmm. think, well, that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, I don't have time for that.
Right.
And the sad thing is, you don't have time for that. Maybe, what is your life about?
I know.
Is your life about what? I mean,
about,
you know, I mean, I want to,
about work, getting up at 8 and going to bed. And,
you know, being a good capitalist and buying things. But
right.
That's kind of an oversimplification in some ways. And in some ways, it's not. I mean, a lot of people... Don't think about the things you think about.
Right.
And
that's a good thing.
Why?
Just because that's what makes us all, you know, that's what makes it interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the openness, I guess, that's available in the art world. We have access to all of these other people, everyone's thoughts and processes and impulses
right.
that normally people don't share, and I think that's a key somehow to our coexistence. I mean, that's how I...
Yeah, it would be nice to be able to build a bridge between the workaday, gotta survive, gotta make a living kind of existence that most people literally find themselves trapped in, it's almost like art is another... I don't want to use the word spiritual, but another... Well, you know, it keeps coming back to dimension. It's
mm-hmm.
just another dimension, and it's a dimension that when you go to foreign countries, Europe especially, it's intuitive. I mean,
right.
they get that it's important, but here it's like, you know, sort of work church.
Forget it. And that's the thing, too, that I like.
Work church.
Work.
That's right.
The whole slower pace of life and the idea that you're actually contemplating what's happening to you and what's going on around you as opposed to just blindly going through it.
That's very interesting.
It seems really, that seems important to me anyway.
Yeah, I think that might be, you might have finally hit on it.
Yeah.
You know, it really, you know, it's you know, the I mean, none of us wants to think that we live the, you know, the uninspected life. Mm-hmm. But certainly in these times, you can get people to readily admit, I'm trying to do too much. I never have enough time. Gosh, I thought I was going senile because my memory's terrible now, but right. I realized it's late. You know.
And then at the end of life, you're finally worried about what you did wrong or, you know, whose feelings you hurt or whatever. And I feel very connected to where I am right now. You know, I just feel connected. I just don't want to, and I think that the art thing helps me do that. I'm
right.
working it through somehow, and not in a hokey way, I don't think. I mean, this way mm-hmm. I'm constantly re-examining just taking stock in what is
right.
going on all the time.
Right.
And maybe sometimes I think the installations that I'm doing end up being a sort of an escape or a place to go to get away from all of that, or they comment on it loosely, just enough so that there's something recognizable, but it's still this sort of abstract thought somehow. But that's a sort of a vague comment.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, one of the things that propelled me to do this was that disconnect in our culture, almost dismissal of, you know, people walk into shows. And understandably sometimes, but they walk in and they go, well, God, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone I know very well said to me once, yeah, but you didn't.
Right. it's so true. It's so simple.
It's
if you can do it, then go home and do it.
Go home and do it.
And
then the question is, well, why would I even want to do that? And then you start getting into, you know, thinking about your life and thinking about your travel, your journey through this crazy, whatever this thing is.
Right.
But in our culture, it's also defined in what I think is an enormously, in many ways, limiting.
Right.
It's a shame. It's almost like, I mean, all artists, let's talk about this a little bit, because I think it hits all artists. All artists have to live in both worlds.
It's true.
I mean, you know, I guess you could buy a tent and go live in the woods and, you know, and eat berries and make art out of whatever you could find in the woods or something, but most artists have to contend with both worlds. Do you find that true? I mean, you find
Oh, I do, absolutely. I mean, and that's another, I think before I started school in Iowa, I was defying all of that by doing my own shows and just setting up events in a garage, and I didn't have to rely on, you know, the whole process of getting into a gallery and the hobnobbing and
right.
doing and saying all the right things, because that's a hard thing to do, is to get into
sales.
Is to sell yourself, and you have to do that. But school was great for that. I probably could have figured it out after a lot, you know, many mm-hmm. more tough years out
right.
there in the world, but school was a good insular world to be in for a while to work through those things, mm-hmm. but it is difficult. I mean, having to go and sell yourself and you're just passionate or whatever about your
work.
Well,
you got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills, and yeah. I'm still grappling with that as personally, because doing installation work, which, like I said, it incorporates a lot of things, drawing and painting being one of them, so any time or another I could isolate a drawing out of this and turn it into something saleable, but
right.
it's difficult for me to do that, and I think for a lot of people who are into this
kind
of work.
Well, it's not the driving motivation.
It's not the motivation, but you have to, and that's the hardest part, is
right.
how the hell do you do this?
Right.
Like, I still don't know. So being here and getting the teaching experience at BCU has been fantastic. And
talk
it's
about
a great,
that a little bit. We're running short on time here, but just talk about, I mean, you didn't just sort of arrive here one day.
No,
I applied.
Applied for fresh out of grad school. There was an application. The VCU people sent out this application. People could send work and resume and
so VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, their painting and printmaking department.
And printmaking department teamed with Plant Zero and Richard Roth and Tom Papa and a few other people mm-hmm. conceived of this idea to make, since the studio building here at Plant Zero, they had an apartment that they made available to VCU, and they decided to turn it into this residency program
okay.
and invite artists This is the first official year. They had a visitor here last year, I think, for a little while. But so I'm sort of the guinea pig or something, the pioneer or
which
whatever.
Which explains why the solvent space looks the way it looks, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. like a
huge
rat's
guinea
nest.
Pig cage, right?
So, but they, it's a great opportunity, and everybody should apply for this.
You applied, you were accepted, and there's a stipend.
Applied and accepted, and then there's a stipend, a teaching experience, but essentially, I guess I'm getting paid for teaching with the stipend. And then I will have a show in the spring at Reynolds Gallery.
Right.
And there was also the apartment and the studio were part of the package.
Wow.
So for the whole entire year.
Not bad.
It's in really? Out of school. It is the best opportunity, I think, that's out there.
It doesn't sound like a bad life.
It's not. It's great. And I don't know what I'll do next year. And the people here have been great. And Richard Roth is making great things happen in the painting program.
Richard Roth, who's the
director
of the School
of Painting and Printmaking.
Printmaking at Virginia Commonwealth University. Well, I told you this would go by pretty fast.
It really did.
And I think it has. We've been
talking all day about all these important life issues.
Absolutely. we've been talking with Cece Cole, who is here, as she said, fresh out of graduate school. And she applied for, I guess, is it called a fellowship?
It's a fellowship residency, something like that.
So you're a fellow?
Yeah.
Not really, but okay.
I'm a fellow.
You're a fellow. It's a good fellow. And has been here and has an installation at Plant Zero, which, as I said, is on Hall and 4th Street.
And that'll be
And what's the date for that?
I think it's going to be, the card says December 22nd, but it may extend.
Up until December 22nd?
Until January 22nd.
Okay, all right.
Would like to do a closing there on the 20th, so that's a tentative plan, but I think that'll work.
Alrighty.
Hope so.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I hope we've helped folks out there understand a little bit more about why art is so valuable to your life and to your experience of living, and why people choose, you know, to do this and make a life out of art. And maybe somebody out there listening will go, you know, maybe I should try that. Well, go ahead, you know? Like the lady said to me years ago, you know, I could do that. Well, go ahead and do it then. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This is Tim Bowring, and this is Zero Hour, and we are WRIR Radio 97.3, and we come to you on this show, Zero Hour, the first and third Monday of the month at 12:30 on 97.3. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
That's good.